It's very an interesting thing. Let's put two words together, character and culture. So I'm going to say credibility is your character and other people's perception of your character. From a corporate perspective, credibility is the character of your employees, which are generated or permeated through the culture of your company, which has to start from the top down.
Alan has started and grown several multi-million dollar businesses. His mission is to help you do the same. Welcome to the Business Growth Pod, building the future one entrepreneur at a time.
Hey everyone, welcome to the show. I'm Alan. I'm a family man, an attorney, and an entrepreneur. Each week, we provide resources and advice to help build your business. Are you ready? Then let's go. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Business Growth Pod. As always, I'm your host, Alan Draper. Excited to have you with me today. We're going to be answering some questions today, and we're going to get to that a little bit about some questions that startup entrepreneurs have, some things that we can do, some things that we can answer to help you run your business more efficiently and help you achieve your goals. If you find this episode helpful or any other episode, the best thing that you can do to help me in what we're trying to accomplish with this podcast is just share it with somebody that could get something out of it. If you have somebody that needs to listen to this or could get something out of it, make sure to share it with them. Today, I'd like to introduce you to global credibility expert, Mitchell Levy. He is a two-time TEDx speaker. And if that wasn't impressive enough, he's an international best-selling author of over 60 books. I don't know where he gets the time. He's also an executive coach at Marshall Goldsmith's 100 Coaches. Welcome to the show, Mitchell. Glad to have you.
Alan, great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, real pleasure, man. Very accomplished. 60 books. How long have you been writing?
Well, so I'm also a publisher, which makes it easier. So wait, I've published over 750 books. So that's a benefit of being a publisher is it's easy to do and I have a process in place that makes it work. First book was one that I did way back when I was still working for corporate. It's like 1988. But a lot of the books came as I was test driving new processes. And what we do now is if somebody wants a book, we ghostwrite, publish, distribute, make them an Amazon best-selling author. We do it in 6 months. And here's the cool part. The book is not a history lesson. The book is really the roadmap of where the person we're working with is going to be going.
That's interesting. So is that kind of what's taking up most of your professional time right now is publishing books or are there other things you're involved with? Tell me a little bit about that.
So I've been in Silicon Valley for 35 years. I've started 20-ish companies. I have sat on the board of a NASDAQ firm for 9 years. Probably if you asked me that about 2 years ago, I'd say yes. What happened though is when we were doing the transition from being a more traditional publisher to a done-for-you publishing company, I ended up interviewing 500 thought leaders on credibility. And I have to say I was shocked by the results. And as a result of that shock, I now have a life mission that I didn't have before. And it centers around allowing us as humans to be much more credible. And in the business side, there's some really straightforward and simple things we can do that we've been taught to do things really elongated. And I just say there's a lot of marketing cookie cutter approaches that we can actually say, hey, let's not do that. Let's focus on the most important thing.
When you say credibility, what are you talking about? Are you talking about the trustworthiness of the entrepreneur? Are you talking about the trustworthiness of the actual company? What are we talking about?
So credibility, the definition that came out of the interviews, it's the quality in which you're trusted, known, and liked. And underneath each one of those elements, there are 10 values associated with credibility. So the answer to your question directly, yes and yes. It's the credibility of the company in the marketplace. And more importantly, the credibility of the company is based on the credibility of the employees of those companies. So it's the credibility that you bring in each and every relationship, each and every activity.
So the credibility of not just the business owners, but the credibility of the employees also.
By definition, because, you know, if you're buying stuff from a company, unless you're doing business directly with the CEO, the person you're interacting with, the person who you really get to trust, know, and like, by the way, if your clients do not like you, they will no longer be clients for a long period of time, right? So who that is, that's the people on the line who's actually doing the end results for you.
You know what this reminds me of is there were these studies that showed that specialist physicians were like some crazy number of times more likely to be sued than a family practitioner or a generalist, right? So like, and I have a point here.
Well, I was curious because you saw, you saw the expression on my face for those that are listening and it's like, okay, I'm curious, where's this going? I'm intrigued, Alan.
Yeah, so they dug for years to find out why the orthopedic surgeons and the dermatologists and why are they getting sued at a higher rate than a general practitioners. And so they started looking at like incidents, like what, you know, maybe they're more likely to commit malpractice. Maybe that was the issue. After a while, they showed that that wasn't it. There was something else at play here. They started to survey the actual patients. And the typical patient response when they were asked, hey, as opposed to going after the general practitioner, when you had this issue come up, you went after the specialist who the general practitioner, after they couldn't figure out the issue, sent you to, right? And they said, well, I could never do that to, you know, Dr. Thompson or Susan or whoever, right? Whoever the physician was or PA was. And what they found out was they liked their general practitioner. They had a relationship with them. They liked them. And so they wouldn't sue them. And so it's kind of this analogy with our clients, right? Where it's like, if, you know, I have a couple of businesses that are focused very heavily on recurring revenue. And one thing that we've learned is that one of those companies is a pest control company and recurring revenue is big, right? We come out every quarter or every other month, depending on the market. And we've heard a couple of times the customer would call in, they're like, yes, you know, so-and-so came by my door, wanted to switch me to a different company. And I told them, oh, I could never do that to John, their technician.
Nice. Nice. Right.
And so we realized that the way to, and a lot of times John wasn't our best technical technician. He wasn't the one that would always solve the problem the first time, but he was the best with customers. People loved him. Right. And so I think you're right. So that's a long explanation of me saying, I think you're 100% right. I think clients do business with people that they trust and like.
I want to say yes, but I also want to say, although it was, yes, long, and technically you should be in this normal relationship of the host and the guest, you know, the guest is supposed to be sharing their ideas. But in this particular case, Alan, that was such a beautiful way to present this information. And it gives me a bunch of ideas that make a whole lot of sense because it really is powerful. And by the way, I'm going to switch topics just for a second because I told you I'd make you smile.
All right. Let's see.
So at the beginning of the conversation, at the beginning of this podcast, you said, by the way, if you like what you're hearing, share with your friends. So one of the words that came out of the credibility interviews is a word called cred dust. So if you want to look it up, credust.com, cred dust is that magic that happens when you share somebody else's ideas, thoughts, and actions. And so when I talk about, I'm going to ignore the suing part, but when I talk about the fact that people are doing business with you because the people on your line are people that they like and trust.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I will be mentioning your name and I'll spread some cred dust. And you want your fans, you want your listeners who are hearing this and go, oh my God, this is powerful. What you want to be able to do at the beginning, hey, you should spread some cred dust. And sprinkle that on because we've been taught, by the way, not to do that. I saw the smile. We've been taught to take credit for everything ourselves.
Yeah.
That's wrong. So, you know, you got people working for you to do amazing things. Highlight them. Spread their cred dust. If there are competitors who do things that are amazing, highlight them. Talk about them. They're helping your industry overall. Spread some cred dust.
Yeah, I like that. I like that idea because it's not just about the clients or the customers, right? It's about, and I always say, like, I look at it as this never-ending loop or cycle where it's my job as a business owner, as a facilitator, as a leader, is to take care of my people, right? If I take care of my people, my employees, my partners, my contractors, all of those people will take care of my customers, and then my customers will take care of me. And I think it's important to include in this, you know, discussion about credibility, how that's why I like that aspect so much is when you mentioned, hey, you got to increase the credibility of your company. People rely on that. I like that you mentioned employees, right? Because very few of my customers or clients deal directly with me, right? And so it's not necessarily their perception of me that matters. It's their perception of whoever they're doing business with. But the perception of me matters and it affects the culture. So when we're talking about credibility, what's the cultural aspect of it?
Well, you sort of smacked it on the head. So first, the credibility of your company is seen as the weakest link of all the people that your customers are touching. And culture comes down to, you know, it's very an interesting thing. Let's put two words together, character and culture. So I'm going to say credibility is your character and other people's perception of your character. From a corporate perspective, credibility is the character of your employees, which are generated or permeated through the culture of your company, which has to start from the tops down.
No, I think that's exactly right. And you know what's funny is a lot of times as, you know, and my listener is somebody that's working on their startup. They're getting there or they just recently launched, which means they're still working on their startup. And they have so many pressures, Mitchell. They're worried if they're going to have enough money for payroll next week. And it's so hard. And I know this because I've been there. It's so hard to think long term. It's so hard to think about this concept of credibility. It's so hard to think about culture. And I always talk about, it's common for me to say something like, if you don't focus on it now, you may never get really good at it. You know, you won't focus on it until you necessarily have to. And there have been a couple of really popular shows recently on Hulu and Showtime about CEOs, large-scale CEOs, one from Uber, one from Theranos. And they had everything they needed, right? They had all the technology, they had the startup capital, they had the resources, they had the personnel. They personally were very skilled and talented, but they lacked culture and credibility, definitely lacked credibility. Shows, one's called Super Pumped on Showtime. The other one that I just finished is the one about, it's the story about Theranos on Hulu, but it showed how it doesn't matter if you have everything else right. You get everything else right, Mitchell. If you don't have those things, then your company is going to, maybe it won't fail, but it's definitely going to have some hurdles. It's definitely going to have some failures. You're definitely going to have some mistakes that you would be able to overcome if you got some of those things. So it would be my opinion, and I want to get yours, but it would be my opinion that that's why credibility matters to a startup.
Credibility matters. The best way to think about this is credibility matters because it's all of your stakeholders. It's their opinions of you. It's how they interact with you. It's whether or not they're going to recommend you to others. Whether you call it credibility or culture or like, I don't want to get stuck in the words because in some cases, until we have a common language, right? We may be saying the same things, just saying it in a slightly different way. So let's do it in a different way. You're in a startup. You're going to do something amazing. First of all, who's your client? How do you make your client happy? How do you reach your client? How do you make sure when you hire new people that you also generate the same level of customer service, culture, the excitement that you want to deliver? You know, if you look at the startup, which was Amazon, who is no longer a startup, as Jeff Bezos has left, the quality of customer service is not the same, right? Because the culture of the company is being changed from whether or not it was completely hyper-focused on the customer to maybe hyper-focused on profit with different model, different approach. So when you're looking at your company and what you do, do you feel comfortable with everyone you're hiring recommending them? Do you feel comfortable? If probably the best way to think about it, after you provide a service for your client, whether or not it's you or anyone else, would that client then recommend you to others? That's a representation of how you've done and who they are. And whether you call it credibility or culture or what have you, for me, when I'm thinking about credibility, what I'm often thinking about is who's going to recommend what we're doing? Who's going to say, this person, whether it's a CEO or anyone in the company made a promise, how valid is that promise? Will it be delivered upon? is this somebody I want to go into business with? Is this something, your example was perfect. When the competitor comes by at a cheaper price, you say no because you just like working with this company.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. So what are some steps that companies and owners can do early on to positively affect long-term results with credibility?
I don't know if I'm going to be controversial, but let me tell you what shocked me in the interviews. And this will be step one. What shocked me in the interviews, and I interviewed now 620-ish thought leaders. I've actually done this exercise with 1,000. 98% of those people I talked to cannot articulate in 10 words or less who they serve and the pain point they address or the pleasure point they address. So I have a term. It's called CPOP. Customer point of possibilities. So what is the first thing you have to do? Throw out all the marketing cookie cutter stuff you've been taught and start thinking about in 10 words or less, who is it that you serve and what are you delivering them? Think of it this way, Alan, what's the playground you play in? And that's for the CEO. Now, you should also be understanding the CPOPs of those people who work with you. So you want the person in finance to focus on the things that are relevant for you to have the right models in place. You want the person in customer service to focus on customer satisfaction. You want the types of things in place. Can I share mine? Mine's four words.
Absolutely.
All right. So my CPOP is focused on where I'm delivering value. So what I'll do is I'll share the CPOP and then I'll talk about what comes next. So mine is simple. Leaders living their values. Now, what happens when you hear those four words is you go either, hey, that's interesting to me. Mitchell, I want to make sure that I am living my values. I might be a client. I might want to play in the playground. Or you might say, you know, I got companies who really need you. So whether or not you're one of those two, or you could be somebody who says, it's not exactly my cup of tea. Doesn't mean you don't like me, but I've taken 1 to 3 seconds. In this case, I've taken a second for you to hear what playground I play in. We have, in terms of trust, we have 1 to 3 seconds for somebody to go, wait, tell me more. And we might get another 30 to 50 seconds where somebody may want to get to know you more. As they're getting to know you, they get to trust you more and they get to decide if they like you. And so what I'd say is you're an entrepreneur. You don't want to create a job for yourself.
Right.
Create an environment that you want to live in. Create an environment that you want to every day wake up and go. I often get asked the question, Mitchell, when are you retiring? I'm going to retire at whatever point in time I no longer can be of service to other humans, which means most likely sometime when I'm 6 feet underground.
Exactly.
Right? Because I love what I do. Now, it doesn't mean I don't change what I do. And I do. So if you love what you do and you're starting a business, great. Create an environment, create a culture, create the type of credibility that gets spread because every one of your stakeholders are bought into that vision. They understand your CPOP. They all have CPOPs. You know how we work together and you benefit by making your clients happy.
Yeah, I think there's some marketing misconceptions where businesses and their leaders think that the way to really reach somebody is to talk about how good they are, right? My company does this and my company does this and we're the best at that. And what I liked about your CPOP was that it's focused, and I guess by just the nature of a CPOP, it sounds like that's how it is, but it's focused on the customer, right? It's not and a lot of companies don't realize this, but it's not about the company. And their taglines and their mission statements and those types of things should be focused on the customer. And I read this book, Donald Miller, great branding book, and he basically used an analogy of how businesses, they're not the hero of the story, but a lot of businesses put themselves out to be, hey, this is what we do. The most successful brands are the ones that help people realize that the business is just a guide and the consumer's the hero.
I love that. So for me, leaders living their values, there are 10 values associated with credibility. And if your values happen to be credible, you by definition are credible. You talked about Lucas Root, and Lucas is a partner I work with. His CPOP, brands that don't execute, right? So he works with these larger companies who essentially they may be companies who they want to come up with the ideas, the thoughts, the strategies, but they don't want to work on the detail execution. That's okay. It fits. It's a playground he plays in. It's another one that's four words. Once again, I typically like CPOPs to be less than 10 words. But what happens, here's the cool part. When you have a CPOP that is so powerful, I'll give you one other example. There's a woman I know, absolutely adore her. Her name's Jill Fisher, and she's a hypnotherapist. I don't know how to recommend, like, let's say one of your listeners, you know, is saying something. I'm like, oh, wait, I got a cool hypnotherapist for you. Like, what are you going to think about me? So what happened is when we went through the CPOP exercise together, we started focusing on her clients and who she serves and who she loves serving. And her testimonial for me is amazing because what she said was, Mitchell, this has been my, I'll share what it is. This has been my client for 12 years. I just never thought of it before. Her CPOP, really, really amazingly cool. Mothers, mothers looking, here I am live and now I'm freshly embarrassed by saying it was, I cued it all perfectly. And then, got it. Sorry. It doesn't start with mothers. Thank you. So please keep this in, obviously, because this is part of being credible is being human.
Absolutely.
Her CPOP is four words as well. Lost moms reclaiming themselves.
Hmm.
Right. And so what's interesting is I can now, besides potentially getting it wrong when I'm live, but I can actually go in to talk about who her client base is. So if you're listening to this, what you want to be saying to yourself is, what is your CPOP? How can I articulate myself so that people want to recommend me? If they actually trust, know, and like you, or trust, know, and love you, then they want to recommend you. And so how can you make it easy for them to recommend you?
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. Over the years, I've realized that the best lead is a referral. And my companies, you know, rely on recurring revenue and repeat business from customers. It's actually shown that customers that came to us from a referral, they stick with us, spend more money, you know, refer us more than the customer that actually referred them. So the person that gets referred is a longer term customer than the customer that does the referring, which is interesting.
But well, that's really interesting.
Okay. Yeah. And I think it goes to show that, you know, the importance of this concept of character credibility, right? Because when a company gets referred, you know, the person that's doing the referring is kind of putting themselves out there. And so there's this, you know, interesting correlation between the two. Well, this has been fantastic, Mitchell, where, you know, it's such an important aspect of starting a business. And sometimes it gets, you know, left in the background, one of those, yeah, I'm going to get there. I'm going to focus on our culture. We're going to set core values. We're going to talk about things that, you know, our real why. I think all of those things are related here, but sometimes it gets pushed off and I get it. You know, sometimes you got to focus on meeting payroll and all the issues that come with a startup. So I understand that, but you really got to get to the point where, you know, this concept of credibility becomes at the center of your business. I like to say that if you get that right, the business will come. If you start just focus on the business and the revenue, sometimes it, you know, it doesn't. And if you're a principle-based entrepreneur, if you're wanting to do something positive, you're worried about your legacy, I don't see how you do it without doing this type of credibility analysis.
I'm with you. You're doing great. You're singing the praise. I appreciate that.
Love it. Well, thanks so much, Mitchell. This has been fantastic. Where can people go to find out more about all the great things that you're doing?
You know, I'm going to do three things quickly. I know I should only do one. You could always check out the TEDx that I did. It's called We Are Losing Our Humanity. I'm tired of watching it happen. It was the 28th most popular in 2021. We do have a membership community called Credibility Nation. And that's just credibilitynation.com. But I want to steer you towards something that we do once a quarter. And I do this with Lucas Root. It's ultimatecredibilitybootcamp.com. And bring your employees with you. Bring your stakeholders with you, because in this two-day period, you will be, it's the best word, it will be transformative. A lot of what we do is very, if this conversation was, oh, Mitchell, that was a lot of common sense, I'm going to say yes, just a lot of people don't have it, or we'll just say common sense is not always common. And so if you want to bring your team with you to the Ultimate Credibility Bootcamp, it will change how you show up. You'll get a common language around credibility and be able to then propagate it across your larger stakeholder system, which includes your clients.
Love it. Well, that's fantastic. Mitchell, thank you so much for your time today and wish you nothing but success in the future.
Aaron, right back at you. I'll have you over on one of my podcasts. So thank you.
Let's do it. Thanks, Mitchell.
Take care, everyone.
If you've enjoyed today's podcast, please leave us a rating. And for daily inspiration and business tips, follow Alan on Instagram. Until next time, remember, we build the future one entrepreneur at a time.